Helen, it's a sad day for me because it's our last session today, and it's quite an important day because it's the 24th of March, and yesterday was the anniversary of lockdown, first lockdown, and we just thought it's going to be a short, temporary thing, didn't we? And the impact of this COVID has been massive, hasn't it? So very, very thoughtful day of reflection, isn't it? And our last day, I shall miss our weekly chat.
Me too, Bernie. Me too.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. So I'm really looking forward to hearing your choices.
Right. Well, thank you. I'm going to take you right back, actually, back to sort of age 16, 17, back to the art department in my secondary school. And it was sort of under the stage. And it was the only, they were the only teachers that ever called us by our first name. Usually we were called by our surnames at that school. And we could make coffee and we could listen to music. And it just felt like, just felt like we were free for the first time at school. And during that time, I made some really important friendships. And discovered some great new music. And if there's one particular band that sums up that time, then it is the sort of New York rock band, the Velvet Underground. Some people will probably know the lead singer a little bit better. That's Lou Reed, famous for Perfect Day and Walk on the Wild Side, etc. But yet their very first album, which was kind of it was kind of produced with the artist Andy Warhol, who did the very famous Banana cover to it. It was done with a German singer called Nico, and it was hugely influential. Quite controversial too, because some of the subject matter of some of the songs, etc. But there's one song from that album that I absolutely love, and it's called I'll Be Your Mirror. So Nico sings it, but it's Velvet Underground and Nico. And I suppose that just that even that phrase, I'll be your mirror, for me, that's sort of what religion and spirituality is about. It's about sort of mirroring back to us who we are. And in the song, it's sort of it talks about, those moments when we feel twisted and unkind, that the singer, the person who's singing it, that they will, they'll be like a mirror that reflects back the beauty that actually you really are. So it's kind of a song on one level about human relationships, but for me, it goes a bit deeper, and I suppose I see faith in God as being like a mirror that sees me, that sees exactly who I am. I don't always see who I am. I think I've kind of got quite a twisted idea about who I am, and guilt and shame and all that stuff gets mixed into the mix. But when I believe when God looks at me, he sees me completely, and he sees all the complications, and he sees, but he sees all the beauty as well. And so this song, I think, is just a really, really lovely expression of God seeing me and seeing the beauty that's within each and every one of us. So it's I'll Be Your Mirror, and it's by the Velvet Underground with Nico.
I be your mirror, reflect what you are, in case you don't know. I be the wind, the rain and the sunset, a light on your door to show that you're home. When you think the night has in your mind that inside you're twisted and unkind, let me stand to show that you are blind. Put down your hands, I see you. Don't know the beauty you are, but if you don't, let me be your eyes, the hand to your darkness, so you won't be afraid when you think the night has seen your mind, that inside you're twisted and unkind. Let me stand to show that you are blind. Please put down your hand, I see you. I'll be your mirror. I'll be your mirror. I'll be your mirror.
So did you used to listen to music when you were in during lessons, during the class?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we were left to our own devices, which was great.
Lovely. You're very creative.
Yeah. It was fun times. We had our own little space that was ours. We could sort of put up our own posters and have our own music. And
it sounds nice because it sounds like you're all focused on art as well. Because some children might be tempted to talk about football or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, we talked a lot about music and had some of my deepest conversations in that little room.
That's great.
And lots of fun as well.
I remember being quite taken aback. We had an RE teacher occasionally who was a reverend, and he played us music, and I remember him playing Paul Simon, I Am a Rock, I'm an Island, or whatever. And I was absolutely surprised that a teacher playing music, because everything had been academic until then. And he came at us from a different angle, which I thought was lovely, you know.
Yeah.
It was an RE teacher. But I don't think any other teacher would do that kind of thing. And I thought that was nice, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of seminal music I discovered in those days in the art room, including Smiths and Joy Division.
Are you talking about trying to get back in touch with some of your friends?
I managed to, because I'm a very late comer to Facebook. I always resisted it. My wife was kind of quite a fan, and I always was until about maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it got me back in touch with some of those boys, those lads that I shared those times with. Few of them, we went on art college together. We went on to Belfast and shared a flat. That was fun.
But
lost touch, as you do. It's really interesting to find out where their lives have gone, really. And just to pick up, you know, we just felt like we just picked up from where we left off.
It's quite solitary as well, in that I kind of feel, you know, I've got to make most of my time, as it were, you know. And one of my closest friends, he's had a stroke. It was quite a shock to see, you know, the huge impact it had. And there's a video of him walking his daughter down the aisle, and he had to learn to walk again, and he managed to do it. But it took quite a while for him to walk down the aisle. But there was a ripple of applause in the church when he did it, and that was rather nice, rather special, that I think he'd be in a determined manner. And then another one of my friends, he passed away, and that was quite a shock as well. You know, that it kind of spurs me on to make the most of my time, really, if I can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So let's focus on our next...
Next choice is by someone called Daniel Lanois. He's probably more famous as a producer, really. So he's produced some of U2's biggest albums, did some really beautiful work with Emmylou Harris.
I was very intrigued by his name. Could you say that again? It sounded French.
Yeah, Daniel Lanois. Yeah, I think he's French Canadian. So really interesting guy. He's produced some of his own music. I think he may have two or three solo albums out there. But this song is simply called The Maker. It's very evocative, I think. He uses quite a lot of biblical imagery in it. He talks about sort of Eden and Jean-Baptiste, John the Baptist. But there's a kind of refrain in this song, and it begins with him saying, "I'm a stranger in the eyes of the Maker." And then he sort of has this kind of revelation, and there's the next time he sings that line, it says, I'm not a stranger in the eyes of the Maker." And I think that song is just, for me, it evokes that moment of waking up, really, of waking up to the fact that we are known by God, that we're not strangers to him. He talks about he couldn't feel because of the fear in his life. And sometimes it's sort of fear that holds us back from kind of trusting that God loves us, or that God might exist, or whatever. But there is, for me, there's that sense that God meets us exactly where we are. We don't have to go out there to try to please or discover him anywhere. He is always exactly where we are. And he's not a stranger. We're not a stranger to him. He knows us better than we know ourselves, I think. I think that word, the Maker, is a helpful one, really, because the word God, quite loaded. Maybe, what do we mean by that? But just this sense that if somebody has made us, then of course they know us. Of course they understand us. Of course, in their eyes, we're wonderful. And it sort of reminds me, actually, if you don't mind, Bernie, there's a children's story that, for me, I think it's one of the best children's stories ever. And like the best children's stories, it's probably for us all, really. It's simply called You Are Special. And
Oh,
it's a
lovely.
story about this little group of wooden people called the Wemmicks. And they live in this little town called Wemmicksville. And then high on the hill, there's the studio, the workshop of the wood carver Eli. And every day the Wemmicks do exactly the same thing. Every day they have a little box and they go around and they award stars to the ones that they think are most beautiful or talented or have the least scratches. And they stick these stars on one another. But if they find someone that they think is less talented or less beautiful or has more scratches, then they stick a grey dot on that Wemmick. And that's what they do all day, every day, sticking dots and stars on each other. And there's one little Wemmick called Punchinello. And he can't run fast. He can't jump very far. He's got scratched. His paintwork's scratched. And all day, every day, the other Wemmicks just give him grey dots. And he's this kind of little forlorn kind of little character who just feels, totally judged, totally useless, totally worthless. And then he meets this Wemmick called Lucia, who doesn't have any dots or stars, and he's intrigued, and he asks her why. And she says, "Well, it's not that they don't give them to me, it's just that they don't stick." And Punchinello thinks, "Well, I want to be like that." And he says, "How do you do it?" So she says, "It's easy. Every day I go up the hill to the workshop of the maker Eli, and I sit with him." And Punchinello's intrigued, and he says, "Well, I couldn't possibly meet my maker." And he says, "Well, why don't you just go and find out?" And so all day and all night, he sits and thinks and thinks and sits and waits. And eventually, he has just enough strength to climb that hill, open those huge doors, step inside. And inside, everything is enormous. Even the hammer on the workbench, bigger than his body. And he thinks, "I'm not staying here." And he turns and he's just about to leave when he hears this really kind of kind voice from the maker who calls him by his name. And anyway, cut a long story short, the maker stoops down, lifts the little Wemmick, puts him on the workbench, and takes a look at him and says, "God, you've got quite a lot of bad marks, haven't you? And person another says, oh, I tried so hard, you know, I'm really sorry. And he says, you don't have to explain yourself to me. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think about you. And then there's just this kind of little conversation, and it sort of ends like this, if you don't mind me reading it. I think it's just lovely.
No, please. Yeah, I'm really enjoying this, Helen. I'm really, wonderful. I'm wonderful, yeah. Wonderful.
Well, yeah. It says, so Eli explained, he says, every day I've been hoping you come. He says, I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello. I know. She told me all about you. Well, why don't the stickers stay on her? Well, the maker spoke softly. He says, because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? Stickers only stick if they matter to you. But the more you trust my love, the less you'll care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will, but it'll take time because you've got lots of marks. For now, just come and see me every day and let me remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground. Remember, he said, you are special because I made you and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, at that moment, one dot fell to the ground.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a lovely story. And
it's lovely, isn't it?
I mean, that sums up everything God is, really.
Yeah.
One that wants us to kind of let go of all that judgment that other people and even religion has been very good at putting on us.
Yeah. Discrimination as well, really.
Yeah, totally.
That's beautiful.
To know we're special, to know that God doesn't make mistakes.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Thank you, Alan. I think that's... It really works as well. A story like that captures the imagination. You know, it conveys the meaning so yes. Well. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah, when we do christenings, baptisms, that's usually the story I tell. And I usually have a little box with a star in it and dots and things. And at the end, just the, you know, the actual dot falls to the ground. Yeah, and then we go on. One of the things that we do in the christening as well is that some of the older folk in the church, they knit blankets and they stitch into the blankets, you know, with love from St. Andrew's or St. Mary's.
Oh, how beautiful.
When we get everybody there to bless the child, and the words we use, I think, are really lovely, you know, with all our hearts and minds and strength, we bless you on this day. And we wrap the child around with the blanket as a way of saying they're wrapped in God's love and will always be safe in that love. So yeah, it's those little meaningful things, I think, that just bring home the depth and the breadth of God's love.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, I really like that. Thank you, Anne.
Yeah, so the song is Daniel Lanois, and it's called The Maker.
cannot see, for the fog in my eyes. I could not feel, for the fear in my life. And from across the great divide, in the distance walking to me with the Maker. My body is bent and broken by long and dangerous sleep.
Last one.
Was it a very the best till last?
Oh, it might be actually. It's interesting actually, because the very first song that I started off with was some bluegrass from Alison Krauss.
Yes.
Down to River to Pray. I've got a bit more bluegrass now, and this is by Gillian Welsh, and it's called Orphan Girl. Gillian Welsh and Alison Krauss both ended up on the soundtrack that I mentioned of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? So it's a nice sort of so it's called Orphan Girl. It's a really simple, lovely, gospel-like song. And it begins with, you know, I am an orphan on God's highway. I have no mother, no father, no sister, no brother. I am an orphan girl. So it starts off just really sad, really, that this person is totally alone in life. But then it kind of, you know, as the verses move on, one of the verses says, blessed Savior, be my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, walk beside me. And I think that for me is just such a lovely, lovely thought, really, that I suppose inside all of us, I think there is this sense of homesickness, that no human relationship, I believe, will ever completely fulfill. That we're all kind of homesick, really, for this, for the Maker, really, who, as we've said in some of the other songs, you know, has called himself our Father, our Mother, but also, you know, our brother, Jesus, the one that walks beside us, the one that knows exactly what it's like to be one of us. So, you know, for me, kind of religion, knowing, loving God, it's about coming home. And just that feeling of when you come home, if you've been away for a long time and you're suddenly you're back and you're in your own place, your own bed, your own things, your own people. And there's a real sense in the Bible that actually of being adopted into God's family, that, you know, we belong there, and that we're never going to be alone. Whatever way we walk, whatever path we trod, however alone we feel, we are never, never alone. We're not orphans in God's eyes. Jesus said that, in fact. He said, I won't leave you like orphans. I'll come to you and I'll be with you exactly where you are. And so, yeah, last song, but it's it perhaps sums up so many of the other songs that we've used over these last few weeks. Orphan Girl by Julian Welsh. Thank you.
well done. That's beautiful, 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 beautiful. Oh, the last one.
Hey. Yeah, it's been good, Bernie. Thank you for indulging me.
Oh, no, it's been a pleasure. I've loved it, actually. I've really, really enjoyed it. It's been so lovely. Very thought-provoking and, yeah, it's given me a new sense of direction, actually, a new kind of awakening, if you like. So that's rather lovely. So shall we talk about our shout-outs?
The shout-outs, yes. Yeah.
We've enjoyed doing our shout-outs, haven't we? So yes.
People have really appreciated them.
I was quite touched how people have reacted almost emotionally to hearing them getting a shout out, acknowledgement for what they do, and felt really touched, haven't they? So
people from crews, were particularly
touched,
weren't they? That was lovely.
Yeah, and I was grateful because not all of our recordings go on the station on demand player, which is a shame. I hope we get that sorted at some point. But it was nice that I was able to refer Cruz to your website, which has got a page and it's got all the recordings on there, and it's all very, very professionally done, actually, very, very, very well done. And who is it who puts it together there?
She's lovely.
Oh, she's lovely. Sorry, Phil.
Yes. No, Phil is an absolute star. You couldn't wish to work with somebody just more kind of professional and kind and caring and just brilliant at her work. So
I thought I detected a little sense of humour as well. Has she got a bit of a sense of humour?
Yes. But she looks after all our administration, including the website, and keeps me on track, really.
She does a lot, and she does it so well, and nothing seems a problem with her. She's just so straightforward, isn't she? She just...
That's wonderful.
Yeah, she gets on with it, doesn't she? Well, we didn't plan giving Phil a shout out, but she's had such an important role this past year.
She really has. Yeah, it's been a challenging year. Phil's had to kind of work outside her hours often, kind of adapt to the new situations, but always been there, you know, with such grace and kindness. And,
So obviously she's a bit of a dab hand at with the website.
She is, yeah. Very gifted photographer as well, and writer. And
did she organise your photo shoot? Was she the person that took your photo?
No, that was our youth worker, actually, who again is another gifted photographer. Eventually got a new picture.
You've amassed a nice, you've got amassed a lovely team around you, haven't you, really?
Yeah, no, totally. Couldn't do without them, honestly. So lucky.
I think they're all quite proud of you, Alan, as well. They all love you very much, I think, you know, and I think that spurs them on. And yeah, a lot of people talk very fondly of you, Alan. I was out delivering only yesterday and talking, somebody mentioned the show and how much they're enjoying it, and what a wonderful man you are, you know, and I think that. And you're very modest with it, you know, very humble. I thought that was so nice, that person saying those things, you know. And it was kind of, it was spontaneous, you know, so it's nice. Oh, well, please give my best regards to Phil. I shall.
I certainly will.
Yeah. I shall keep in touch with her mysteriously, yes. I think.
Yeah, brilliant.
So, yes, we want to talk about yesterday being the anniversary of lockdown. And you've planned something very special for that, Alan, haven't you?
Well, yeah, it's a joint venture really between Marie Curie Charity and the Church of England, who have come together, and they declared the 23rd of March, which is the anniversary of lockdown. They declared it a sort of national day of reflection. So both our churches, they're open anyway, but they have been open for people to come and to tie little yellow ribbons upon a tree of remembrance. It could be to remember someone who we've lost, or just someone that we've missed, really, during this time. So there's that. There's little prayer cards to take away if you'd like to. If you think that they're appropriate to give to anyone else, please do. At midday, there was a minute's silence, followed by the sort of the tolling of the bell. So yeah, just a way of giving people another opportunity to remember and to grieve and to reflect really on what this year has been, what it's taught us. So yeah, National Day of Reflection. So feel free to drop in either to St Mary's Hartingforbury or to St Andrew's in Hertford and tie a yellow ribbon on a tree.
I'm coming home, I've done my time. Now I've got to know what is and isn't mine. If you receive my letter telling you I'd soon be free, then you'll know just what to do if you still want me. If you still want me. Oh, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. It's been about us, put the blame on me.
Very early on last year, an ex-colleague passed away due to the COVID, and I remember It really came as a shock to the probation community, as it were, all the, because we all keep in touch, really, the probation staff, people work for probation. We're quite a small profession, so we kind of know each other. So when we lost someone who was fun and a bit of a comedian, it came as a shock. Quite sad. And I think there have been lots of learning points on this last year, on different ways, and been a challenge for many people, and many have risen to it and done wonderful things. I think that is absolutely wonderful. And conversely, we've seen some things that haven't been very nice. And I was shocked in the run-up to the lockdown last year, the sort of stampede. And I remember going into a supermarket and it being empty. That behaviour shocked me and upset me. And I remember quite chatty with the staff in the local supermarkets. And I remember going to Asda and Ware and some of the staff being in tears over people's behaviour. And I've been very moved as well. There was quite early during the lockdown, there was an elderly lady who was shielding because she has low antibodies and things. And her daughter, who's a paramedic, came to talk to her, but she stood well away, and her daughter was in tears, and she was so upset that she couldn't give her daughter a hug or reassure her and comfort her. And her daughter was upset because people spat at her in the queue outside, because she was NHS, she'd been given priority that morning to go shopping. And she just finished a night shift, and she walked past this rabble of people, and some of them shouted abuse at her and spat at her and things like that. And it's just so, I was a bit shocked, really, by hearing tales like that. But conversely, there have been some wonderful stories, little things. I met a girl who, during the lockdown, because she couldn't work anymore, she was put on furlough, which was a word I'd never heard of before. On furlough, and she went back to her art, and she's blossomed, and she's been commissioned by lots of people to paint portraits, and she's really good. And for me, that was lovely. And to see this girl really fulfilled and enjoying herself back with her art, I thought that was lovely, you know. And there are lots of tales like that of people blossoming and doing things that they've never done before. And I guess it's happened to me. I would never be on the local radio if it hadn't been for the...
Nice, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Are you coming in, Bernie, to the station? Or?
Yes, I'm completely new, yeah.
I thought you were, you know, part of the establishment.
No, I'm very new, you see. And in fact, we've had to learn how to do things at home, which was a godsend to me, because I'd be a disaster in the studio. In fact, at the probation office, I used to man the switchboard occasionally when they had team meetings or whatever. And I'd cause absolute chaos. I'd plug everybody in the wrong. Me and technology. So it's been quite an uphill learning curve for me. But no, I've enjoyed it. Actually, how it started was I used to do work in the care homes. And just for fun, I used to interview a lot of the people there because I was really interested in them. And I'd put their stories in a newsletter. And just occasionally I made pretend radio programs, breakfast shows with the residents, and they'd be quite fun. And then I'd put them onto discs for the homes to use, and they'd play them to the residents, and they'd hear themselves on the radio, you see. So it, in a way, it hasn't been a sudden journey. It's been a slower one. It's been a bit like a hobby, really. But I'm quite grateful, because it is quite hard to get on local radio as well. They can be quite, so I'm quite grateful to the manager of East Arts Radio to give me a chance, because I think I approached one or two others and they didn't even reply, you know, they weren't interested. So and I've enjoyed it, and I combined it with being out and about in the community with local people, and I've enjoyed that. I've become a bit of a honorary eccentric uncle to many families, I think. Which has been nice, you know, and I've enjoyed that, particularly as I go around. I guess you get the same, people wave at you and
Yeah, it's a nice feeling, isn't it? Just belonging.
Yeah, I don't even know who these people are sometimes, and they wave.
Neither.
So it's a nice sense of community I found, which is lovely, which of course you have as well in your congregation and your church communities. It's so I think that I welcome that, and I think, yeah, they're little parallels, aren't they? It's really, really nice. Mm-hmm. I think one shout out I'd like to give is to the women folk who over this last year have undoubtedly been through a tough time, and it's very much in the news now. Research is showing that women have been disproportionately affected by COVID, in that more have lost their jobs, more have been displaced from work, more have been placed on furlough. We know already as a society that women are still not on an equal threshold regards play very often either. So, but on the other hand, on my round, I've met many women who are young women who are really bright and breaking new ground. I've met a couple of women architects, and my dad was an architect, and in his era, there were no women architects at all, none. So same with doctors, medical profession, I think. There are more female doctors now under the age of 34 than there are male doctors. So women are striving forwards, but this last year, they've had a tough time. And many men, actually, conversely, I've just noticed this anecdotally, that more men are actually playing part in the family and, you know, pushing buggies and getting involved in childcare, which is a good thing, but possibly not enough, because research has shown that women have really been put under a lot of pressure, trying to homeschool, look after toddlers, manage the home and work from home all at the same time over Zoom or whatever. And then recently, this awful death that happened has put into question men's attitudes towards women and how many women have been abused. And sadly, I think abuse goes both ways very often, and some men are abused as well. But the pressure of lockdown over this last year undoubtedly has put a lot of pressures on the family. And there's been an increase in incidents of domestic violence happening, which is shocking. And I remember once I went to visit a women's refuge by appointment. And they knew I was coming, and I was arranging to organise some support for them. And in that, I organised community service, and I had a university graduate girl who'd done something silly, and I was organising a placement for her to work at the Women's Refuge, which I thought was worthwhile. So I was going to organise that, and then who should answer the door but one of the poor victims? And this poor woman trembled. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog trembling. Mm-hmm. Well, this was a human being trembling at the sight of a man being at the door. And it made me feel physically upset and very ill to see what an effect a man can have on, you know. And it was very salutary, that little moment for me, and very, very visual, if you like. And it brought it home to me how the poor victims, what they must go through sometimes. So I want to make a shout out to all the organisations that support people, victims, victim support, and also Women's Aid, and all these people, specialist police officers, all the people that work with victims of domestic violence, and to help them live lives anew, really. And I think it's so important that we're so respectful towards each other in life. And that's my little sermon of today, really, Alan.
Yes, sir.
Over to you. Sorry, was that all right?
Good. Yeah, fantastic.
Oh. I want to underline the positives as well, that many people have achieved fantastic things. I mean, that that wonderful girl doing her art, and you know, seeing her splattered with paint, and feeling, you know, was so empowering and lovely. Seeing her doing wonderful things, you know, a bad situation. I know one family in Hartford who a bit elderly, and they made a bubble with their neighbours who had little children, and the fence got taken down in their garden between the two gardens, and the elderly couple became kind of grandparents to honorary grandparents to the children. And I think that probably wouldn't have happened hadn't it been for lockdown. And that was a lovely, lovely story of two families making good out of a bad situation and really going from strength to strength and becoming really fond of each other and helping each other. And I think I shall try and end my little sermon on a positive note.
Always a good thing. Great.
So you got anything to add, Alan? It's time for us to stop, isn't it?
I don't think I have this week.
I took over the sermon at the end. Was that all right, what I said, Alan? Was that all right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that sounded good. Brilliant.
I think a lot of this abuse thing is on people's minds at the moment, isn't it? So I think...
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Good. Well, Bernie, it's our swan song, our last.
Yeah, thank you. Please keep in touch. Alan, if you ever fancy a chat or just.
Yeah, great.
If you miss me in some sort of odd way.
Well, vice versa.
Yes, if you fancy a Zoom, I would welcome it now and again. It'd be nice.
Or
if you fancy a monthly slot on the radio in some sort of capacity. Have a little think, but you'd be more than welcome, you know.
I'll have a think,
Have a little think, or chat, have a chat with, what's the lady's name? I thought it was a man.
Phil.
Have a chat with Phil.
Yeah.
See if the you two can come up with a nice idea.
Right.
For a monthly chat on the radio, Phil will encourage you. She's my secret ally.
Fantastic. Well, you take care, Bernie.
And you. And thank you for your time.
Great to get to know you.
Yeah, oh, and you. And we've shot over time. We've gone over.
It's all right. It's okay.
I haven't made you late for something.
Nope. No, we're all right.
Oh, good. All right.
Anyway, God bless.
Have a lovely reunion with your daughter, won't you? That'll be
We will. It'd be nice. Yeah. It'd be really nice. Yeah. Okay. Fantastic.
Well, keep in touch, Alan, won't you, please?
Yep. I definitely will. Cheers. See you then. Bye-bye.
I'll light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play songs all night long. For me, only for me. Come to me now, rest your head for just 5 minutes. Everything is done.
place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.